As living things, whether you're card-carrying Plato's tribe or we the global people, we are continuously learning as we go. So I don't altogether agree with Dorian Lynskey when he says, in answer to a question from Joel, that there's less of an appetite for protest music. And hey, I'm with our African languages that tell us that there is no separate word for music. I learned that when I've done so many different jobs, but one of them was subbing in a school for the deaf. And there was music in their movement. There was music in their language. There was music in everything they did. So our protest music, maybe it's gone deeper than just needing a song. And he also said that the world's problems seem so vast and suffocating. He was using that as his reason. What made rage electrifying for the class-bound, trapped in suburban bland youth who flocked to see them was that they demonstrated what listening to your body means, what it looks like, showed them how tapping into the force of life releases power and puts you at odds with the system. Most deaf, they modeled that. But having pushed the limits of intuitive disobedience as far as it could then be imagined, and yet to see that it was absorbed by the system, that power handled it, that is a devastating final message to send. So then comes the pondering, then comes power's reaction, incorporating and directing the inevitable rage of the children, of the youth. Rage against the machine showed them that the rage of youth underclass must be managed, and that that rage, they think, can be, perhaps, they hope, successfully diverted down totalitarian roads. Let's not let that be.